Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1 is what I'll be considering this morning, along with maybe the three verses following that. But first, I just want to recognize God and thank Him for the day that He's given us. I don't know about you, but the fall and the winter time is my favorite time on the high desert. When we get past that heat just a little bit, you know, and the desert is different in the winter, and I like it, and I thank God. But I thank God for the summer, too. It's just, this is my favorite time. It's good to see all of you here out to worship God. I know there are things that we could all be doing other than coming to worship God, but I know that it is our desire to please Him, and that's our aim this day. I thank Nicholas for reading that. But I'm gonna go ahead and read from the NIV, and I'll read the first four verses. We must pay more careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away. For if the message spoken by the angels was binding, and every violation and disobedience received its just punishment, how shall we escape if we ignore such a great salvation? This salvation, which was first announced by the Lord, was confirmed to us by those who heard Him. God also testified to it by signs, wonders, and various miracles, the gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to His will. The key words that I want to focus on this morning is in verse 1, we see that we need to pay careful attention to what we've heard. The word heard, I want to pay attention to. And then when we go to verse 3 towards the end, it says that it was confirmed to us by those who heard Him. Now, what prompted me toward this lesson was Wednesday night we had some discussion concerning hearing God and hearing His voice. And I thought, you know, maybe we need to examine that a little bit, because it is in the context of our verses that we've been studying, and we need to understand that we can hear God. We must hear God, but there's a special way in which we hear God. You know, we live, I continue to be amazed with technology that we live with today. And I know technology is of men, but it still amazes me. There's some really smart men out there, and these things that they're inventing just keep amazing me. And even as we sit here this morning and you begin to think about the things that are going on around us that we don't see, there's a lot going on, and we don't even think about it. You know, there's people watching TV and listening to radio, those are signals. And they're around us. We don't see them, but they're there. And we have satellite transmissions. Oh, the cell phones. Don't forget the cell phones, right? Yours is working, right? Okay, there's a signal then. There are signals all around us if it's working. And so, you know, the police radio, fire radio system, and ham radio, and the GPS, my favorite, right? Yeah. I couldn't go anywhere anymore without GPS, right? But the point is, these signals are around us. They're invisible. We give them no thought. They go unperceived. And, you know, the reason that we don't hear a radio signal right now is because we don't have a receiving device. We don't have a radio. And even if you did, you'd have to have it turned on and tuned in. But we need to understand the most important thing is that among all of these signals that are around about us this day, the voice of God is there. It's invisible too. But it's there nonetheless. Around us, as all of these other signals surround us, and we don't hear it sometimes. Some people never hear it. They're never tuned in. Now, I know it's not electronic, and it doesn't depend thank God that it doesn't depend upon a certain frequency in order to operate. And it's not measured by instruments made by man. And it's not received by devices that men have invented. And many people have never noticed it, the voice of God. They just haven't. Not paying any attention to it. But it's there, isn't it? The book of Job. We're familiar with that story, aren't we? It's a story about a man. And a man who became angry with God because his life was falling apart. Maybe you've been there. And Job accused God of not speaking. Did you know that? Job's friend Elihu corrected him. Chapter 33, verses 13 and 14. Elihu says to Job, "Why do you complain to him that he answers none of man's words?" Now listen to this. Listen to this. "For God does speak, now one way, now another, though man may not perceive it." See, that's the mistake that we make with God. Because many people, because they do not hear him, they assume he is not speaking. And that would be like saying, because you don't hear the radio right now, there's no radio signals. It's not true, is it? God does speak. We're not always listening. We're not always perceiving, but his words are all around us, ready to be received. Church, God has given us, and it must be given by God, God has given us the only device, the only receiver we will ever need to tune into his voice. TC talked about that this morning. It's our spirit. He's given us a spirit, and we can only hear God's voice through the God-given spirit that he's put into us. Our spirit is given by God. Our spirit gives life. It gives life to our bodies. And, you know, without our spirit, we know that's the definition of physical death, isn't it? When the spirit leaves the physical body, then you have physical death because the spirit gives the body life. But the spirit houses our sense of being. The spirit is who we really are. See, the body is what the spirit lives in. Just a house for the body, but we tend to think a little bit more of the bodies than that. It is with our spirits that we worship God. Now, I know we do physical things, but the physical things that we do in worship of God in and of themselves are of no value without an investment of our spirit. You know, it's like a radio, the spirit is, that can tune in to God's voice. Like I said, we all have a spirit, but some of us are on the wrong channel, wrong station, right? And I would like to say this, you know. Wednesday we talked about actually hearing a little bit. It was referenced about actually hearing a voice, and we'll talk about that in a minute too. But that's not how God operates today, you know. If we're tuned in, we will hear him. But it's not his physical voice. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 2, 14 through 16. I'm not going to read it, but you can look there. But because it speaks of two different kinds of spirits. One of the spirits it talks about can discern spiritual things because it's tuned in to God's voice. But the other is not. And one spirit is capable of producing fruit of the Spirit, and the other is not. And one is capable of becoming a child of God, and the other is not. And this is important now. One is capable of housing the Spirit of God, and all the accompanying blessings that come with God's Spirit living within our spirits. and the other is not. So the question isn't whether God is speaking or not. The question is, are we hearing the voice of God? Is our spirit tuned in to His voice? Now, back to the physical voice. Some say, well, you know, God, He talked to Adam, and He did, didn't He? And He talked to Eve directly in the garden. And some say, well, he told Noah to build an ark. And those things are true. Directly He told them. And Paul, on the road to Damascus, we just talked about that Wednesday, he heard the voice of God. An audible voice he heard. So some say, why can't I hear this? I want to hear God talk to me too. Why can't I? And the best answer I can give, I think the best answer anybody can give, is that God has chosen not to do it that way anymore. God chooses to do what God chooses to do. He still speaks to us and with us, but not in that way. Know this, He speaks in different ways to different people at different times. Though we may or may not hear Him, has nothing to do with whether He's speaking. I want to make some quick points here. I got a number of them to make, so I'm going to make them quick. The first, and the most important, I believe, all are important, but God speaks to us through His Word. 2 Peter 1:21 tells us that the Word of God did not come to us by the will of man, but by the writers as they were moved by God's Holy Spirit. Men don't understand that, especially men of the world. They pick up the Bible and they think it's like any other book, because they say, well, it was written by men, and so that it was written by the hand of men, but it was inspired of God. 3:16, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished for every good work. So we understand this. It's God-breathed. It comes from God. It is God's Word. Church, the Bible, and this is mentioned in class too, and it's good. I'm going to mention it again. The Bible is the instruction manual for all humankind. We sometimes say as parents, and I suppose on a level it's true, that when your kids are born, it doesn't come with an instruction manual. Well, kind of does, you know. The Bible is that instruction manual, but it takes a lot of work to live by it and practice and do what it says. We need help, don't we? Human beings need help with our marriages. Even a good marriage, we need God in it. We need God helping us. We need help in raising our children, for sure. We need help in knowing how to live in and through difficult times that we all face. And I can't remember a moment in my life in the church that some brother or sister wasn't living through a difficult time. Any size of a congregation at all, and people are having a hard time, and invariably very serious, difficult things are being dealt with. How do we do it? Faith. Faith is how we do it. The scripture tells us, so then faith comes how? By hearing. We can't have faith if we can't hear God's voice. Hearing what? The Word of God. We have to hear it, and I don't mean hear it like you hear a sound that goes in one ear and out the other. It's got to come in here, and it's got to live in us and move us to behave. Pay careful attention, our text tells us. Give earnest heed is what this version says. Pay attention to what God says. Remember it. Romans 10:17 is the verse that I referred to. You see, the problem is not that God hasn't addressed these issues. I don't think there's a problem that mankind faces that God hasn't addressed to some degree. The problem is that in many cases, we're just not listening, or we don't like what God says sometimes. or we're just not paying attention to God. So we assume he's quiet. My second point, God speaks to us through his Son. And, you know, if you read John 1 and 1, you find the Word and the Son are one and the same thing. So it's kind of the same point, isn't it? Hebrews 1 and 2 tells us that. That's what we just, you know, it's the same thing that Elihu said, that God is always speaking, but in different ways, in different times to different people. In the past, how did God speak? Through the prophets, God spoke to us in the past, to his people, at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, now listen to this. How does he speak to us? He speaks to us by his Son. His Son is the Word. He speaks to us by his Word, whom he hath appointed heir of all things. And through him, he made the universe. This chapter teaches us that Jesus came to show us the heart of God. He came to show us the heart of God through the words that he spoke. Remember, Jesus said, if you see me, you see the Father. And if you see the Father, you see me. We can hear God's heart and God's voice through Jesus. We can know what God was truly like through Jesus as he lived on this earth. Jesus taught in John 10 that when we hear his voice and obey, see, that's kind of the test of whether we've heard God or not, whether we do anything with the words that we hear. If we hear and obey, we become his sheep, he said. We become his sheep, and we're led in paths of righteousness by the shepherd. And we will have the good life. We speak of the good life. Most people have no idea what it is. The good life that Jesus promised to make possible through him. That's the life we'll have. Number three, sometimes God speaks to us in ways that you might not even be able to fathom that it's God speaking. He certainly speaks through us through people. He speaks through us through friends, brothers and sisters. He teachers in school sometimes, and parents. God speaks to children through their parents. He speaks to us sometimes even, now get this, sometimes even through an enemy. God can speak to us. You ever have somebody that didn't like you accuse you of something and you were guilty? What they said is the truth. Now, they don't have your well-being at heart as a brother and sister does. But it doesn't mean that what they said wasn't the truth. You understand what I said? And sometimes enemies can tell us things about ourselves that need to be changed. It is their perception. And so, is that God speaking to us? I believe so. He's using those people to get through to us. Words can come as instructions. Sometimes, like I said, as correction, these words can come. And sometimes we get a warning from God. Now, whether or not we choose to hear God, to be receptive to these things, and look past the people. See, we got to consider when people speak to us, whether it's the truth or not. If it's the truth, where does truth come from? It comes from God. But it depends on us, doesn't it? Ultimately, everything depends on what we do with the words that we hear. Number four, God speaks to us through his creation. He does. He speaks to unbelievers even through his creation. There are two verses that I'd like to use here, I think are important. Psalms 19, 1 through 4, and Romans 1, 20 and 22. Now, Psalms 19 says, the heavens declare the glory of God. And so they do. So that, you know, I'm not an astronomer. Some people are real big on that. But you don't have to be. Especially if you're out on the desert where when the moon's not lit, and there's no light anywhere. You look up at the sky, and you see the stars, you can get lost in that, can't you? It's just such a marvelous thing. The skies proclaim the work of His hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. David said, the skies and the heavens talk to us. Night after night, they display knowledge. They have no speech. They use no words. No sound is heard, yet their voice, their message goes out into all the earth. Amen. Romans 1, 20 through 22. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the power, by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse, because that which they, when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations. And their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. You know, God is saying it's not that hard here to me to believe in Him. These verses tell us, number one, only a fool cannot see God in nature. You know, we know as men that design demands a designer. You don't pick up your cell phone and look at that and not realize that someone designed and built. There's a lot of effort that went into making that product come to being. We know that. Demands so. When you see something like that, it demands that somebody somewhere did that. Those who see God hear God and come to know God through nature, through His creation. And if they do not obey Him, it's not me saying this. The scriptures say they're fools. They're fools. Number five, God speaks through us through our difficult times. I mentioned difficult times already. I think of the life of Jonah. And, you know, at first Jonah did, you know, God talked to Jonah audibly. He heard God speak to him. But Jonah chose to ignore the voice of God. See, sometimes we think it would make a difference if God spoke to us directly. Well, Jonah didn't want to do what God said. Did it make a difference to him? Not at all. You know what he did? He ran from the voice. God said, do this. He says, no way, I'm out of here. He was gone, right? And so then God decided, okay, I'm not done talking to Jonah. I'll speak to him in a different way. I'll speak to Jonah through circumstances. Ah, that hits home a little bit, doesn't it? Circumstances. First, He allowed him to be swallowed by a great God-prepared fish. Circumstances, right? Now Jonah had to deal with that. And second, God provided a vine to grow up to shade Jonah. You remember that? And God caused a worm to cut the vine, and the vine withered, and the shade was gone. God gave Jonah two signs. And now Jonah could still do what he wanted with the science. Some say, well, God made Jonah do it. No, He didn't. Jonah could have still refused. People do all the time. But we get signs from God too, through our circumstances. But we're not listening. We're not paying attention. We're not listening for God. We think just bad stuff is happening to us. Or sometimes we think, well, finally the good things I deserve is happening to me, right? We fail to realize that it's God. God is there always. Pay attention. God uses such circumstances to change us sometimes. You know, in this you greatly rejoice. Though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. Listen now. This is 1 Peter, by the way. Listen now. These have come so that your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. You hear what Peter tells us here? As we have trials, But they're not just for chance. They're not for nothing. They're designed to increase our faith. And we can use the difficult times to become better prepared to do the things that God would have us to come. When such difficulties come, and I say when, not if, when they come, we need to ask ourselves, God, do this first. Because it isn't always apparent. See, that's the thing. God, what are you saying to me? Have you ever asked God that? I have. I've had things happen to me and I said, I don't understand this. I don't know why this has happened to me. Help me, God. What are you trying to say to me? What do you want me to do, God, in this situation? Is this happening to me to enhance my faith? Is that a possibility, God? Or is it happening to me because there's something in me you want changed? And you know, when we start to look within ourselves like that, in our relationship with God, instead of the circumstance itself, we'll find a blessing. There'll be a blessing there for God. God is a holy God. He often uses circumstances to get our attention, but it may take a long time before we understand it. And I would submit that maybe we won't even understand it, that we think we need to understand everything, and that's not necessarily true. So be patient anyway. Be patient. You know, I'm thinking of Moses. Remember Moses when he wanted to deliver the children of Israel from bondage, and he was a young man, and he was full of fire, and he killed the Egyptian and got in all kinds of a mess. Well, he thought that was the right thing to do, but it wasn't God's will. It took 40 years. Moses was an old man before God said, now's the time I want to use you. Be patient. Don't try to rush God. Don't say, well, God, you know, these people need to be freed. They need to be freed right now. I'm just going to step on ahead and start this action, right? You're going to end up like Moses. You're going to end up running for your life, right? Don't do that. Don't do that. Amen. Sometimes it takes a relatively short time. I'm thinking of Pharaoh on his part. I mean, I know we went through the 10 plagues, you know, but compared to Moses, it didn't take a whole long time before he'd had enough. Now, did he hear God? He heard God. He didn't hear God in the way I want to hear God, but he heard that God was going to continue to punish him until he did what Moses was saying to do, right? It was God's will. I don't want to hear God in that way. And I can testify to you that I am here today because of God using circumstances in my life and situations to change me. And he still does. Because I tend to, remember the drifting? I tend to drift back to where I used to be, right? And God, every once in a while, see, he helps me out and he presents us a situation, a circumstance in my life that causes me to do just what I said. I have to say, well, God, what's wrong here? And I start looking at my life and I say, oh, yeah, I'm not giving you what is yours, am I? I need to make some changes. Sometimes God uses circumstances to test our faith. Sometimes God is calling us to change our lives. Please listen to him. Sometimes God is trying to get us to emotionally accept his forgiveness. You know, it is a blessing. Christians have that covenant with God. It is a blessing to be able to pray to God for forgiveness and have him forgiveness, have the forgiveness that he promises, and he'll forget our past life. But sometimes God forgets us, but we're not ready to move on. We still want to stew around in what we've done. And so sometimes God will use circumstances to get you to stop that. Knock it off. Move on. Don't dwell in the past. In John 14, Jesus says two times here, if you love me, keep my commandments. The Father and I will come live with you. In you, by the Spirit, the Comforter, I will give you. 1 John 3:24, those who obey his commands live in him, and he lives in them. And this is how we know that he lives in us. We know it is by the Spirit that he gave us. Sometimes God speaks to us through music. You say, music? Yeah, I don't necessarily mean, you know, through that iPhone music that you're listening to, but music nonetheless. And Second Chronicles 23, remember we studied Jehoshaphat, and we looked at that chapter 23 a while ago, and the Holy Spirit announced to Judah in Chronicles 23 that God was going to deliver them from their enemies, and they wouldn't have to fight. They wouldn't even have to fight this great army. And they all knew they couldn't beat this army anyway. So, you know, if it come to a fight, they were done. And so they marched forward. And you know what Jehoshaphat did? Now, me being the human that I am, I said, well, I know we can't beat them, but nevertheless, we're going to get our army ready, right? Have everybody ready to fight, even though God has already said you're not going to need to fight. But Jehoshaphat didn't do that. He appointed men to sing to the Lord and to praise his holiness, giving thanks for his love that endures forever. Verse 22 of that chapter says, and they began to sing and praise the Lord. He set ambushes against the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, and who were invading Judah, and they were defeated. Now, I'm not going to go into the detail of this, but this is a great lesson, and we did do it a while back. Now, it should not surprise us, though, that when we come to the New Testament, we find twice we're encouraged to teach and admonish one another through psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Ephesians 5:19 and Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, with gratitude in your hearts to God. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord. If we are worshiping God in spirit and truth during the song service, then we're hearing God speak to us. Yes, we are. Now, my last point here is through prayer, God speaks to us. But through prayer and fasting, God speaks to us. And we don't talk a whole lot about fasting in the church for some reason or other. But when we examine God's will on fasting, we will find that one of the reasons to pray and fast is to clear our minds, get our minds clear so we can focus. Fast. Make it possible to better hear the word of God, the voice of God. Now, the early church, they prayed and fasted. And, you know, they did it, we find, before sending out missionaries. And they did it before selecting elders. And we find that Jesus himself prayed and fasted. Pretty good recommendation, I would say. Why would we do this? To hear God more clearly. To put the carnal, physical things in order. Not have those interfere with what it is that we want to hear and say to God. Amen. So, does God speak to all of us in the same way? No, we discovered that already, didn't we? We are each unique. He speaks to us in many ways, diverse different ways. The question isn't so much to worry about how God speaks to us, but be listening. That's the point. Be tuned in. Be ready. Assume God has something for you to hear and listen for it. Remember this truth. Regardless of the way God chooses to speak to us, he will never contradict his word. And that's why we need to know what the word says. Because God is not the only one that speaks to us. You think the old devil don't talk to you? Oh yeah. And you'll be surprised how many people mistake the voice of God and the voice of the devil. When the devil speaks to them, some people think, hey, I heard that. And it's what they want to do anyway. They think it's God telling them to do what they want to do. Pay attention. Does it go against what God's revealed word says? If it does, it's not God. I don't know who it is. I think I do, but I don't know for sure who it is, but it's not God. Don't pay any attention to it. Pay more attention. What God is saying to you this morning, pay attention to it. Is He calling you? Do you hear His voice? I'm not talking about His physical voice. Do you feel drawn toward God? Do you feel like there's something yet to be taken care of in your life that hasn't been taken care of? God is calling you. He's calling you to be His child by faith, repentance, and baptism. He's calling you to change something in your life. Now, we may have already become a child of God. It doesn't mean He's not calling us to make the change that needs to be made. Do you hear Him? Will you obey Him this morning? Will you come to Jesus as we stand and sing the announce song?